Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
I was going to jump down to the floor, you know, and dance a jig for joy, you know. And when he jumped up in the air to jump off the platform, his eyes happened to look down, and he was headed right towards that reel-to-reel tape recorder. So he had tried to adjust his direction of flight while in the air, and his wings just didn't work correctly. And anyway, when he come down, he hit on his elbow, and he actually chipped part of his elbow, and he hurt it pretty bad. Of course, after the service was over, they said, you need to go to the hospital and get it checked. And so he went. So he went, got to the hospital. The doctor said, well, it would have probably been better, you know, if you'd have broke your arm, just talking about a degree of being hurt. He said, because what you've done, he said, you chipped your elbow. And he said, that's harder to get to heal and set back up than it would be if you just broke your arm. We could put a cast on it. He said, we're going to need to keep you in the hospital, you know, a couple of days and monitor this. And so they wrapped him all up and all kind of stuff and whatever they done in that day. And they put him in the hospital room. And he said later that day, because it was, you know, the next morning after he'd hit the floor that night that he went to the hospital. And later that day, he said he was lying up in the hospital room, you know, just meditating. He said he felt kind of lonely, no visiting hours or nothing. He was there by himself, and, you know, people would come and go every now and then. And he said about, I think, around 5 o'clock, 5:30 or somewhere in there in the evening, he heard footsteps come walking down the hall of the hospital. And this door was pushed almost all the way to, maybe open 4 to 6 inches. And so he assumed it was a doctor, nurse, or somebody coming towards his room, because he could hear him right there, clippity-clop, coming to where he's at. And so suddenly the door opened, and he looked up, and guess what? There stood Jesus. There's Jesus Christ. He said Jesus walked right into the door. He had sandals on his feet. He walked right into the door, and there was a straight-back chair in the corner of the room. He walked over, and he got that physical chair that was there, pulled it over beside Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin's bed, sat down in the chair, folded his hands in his laps, and said to Dr. Kenneth Hagin, he said, now, I've come to talk to you about what I said to you in the automobile. It was the night before he was on the way to the hospital. He said, on the way to the hospital the other night, he said, I told you it wasn't going to be as bad as it was, and that you are going to recover supernaturally, and it's going to shock and amaze the doctors. He said, but the reason I come to talk to you, he said, it was in divine destiny that you die at 55 years of age, because you are putting your teaching ministry ahead of your prophetic ministry. He said, now, you may say, well, did I know that this was going to happen, that I was going to hurt my elbow, that I was going to get here in the hospital? He said, yes, I knew it was going to happen. He said, you may ask, could I have prevented it from happening to you? Jesus is telling Brother Hagin that. He said, yes, I could have prevented this from happening to you. He said, but I didn't. He said, I permitted it to happen, even though I did not do it. He said, I permitted it or allowed it to happen to get your attention, because you were out of my will, and you need to repent, and you need to get right. I'm talking about 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. People are saying it's not for today. Jesus Christ said it is for today. Another thing is, somebody said you don't have to repent of your sins. But Jesus Christ stood right there at the temple in Matthew 24, and he told the disciples, there will not be one stone left upon another right here. He talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, in the New Testament era, after the shed blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, in the church age, the Roman general Titus, in 70 AD, walked into Jerusalem, annihilated the temple and the people there, and took them captive. And that's in the New Testament. Why? Because they didn't repent. Capernaum, he prophesied over Capernaum and told them that it would be a waste place. If you go to Israel right now, you can walk on the ruins of Capernaum, and it was destroyed in the New Testament era because they would not repent of their sins. Well, 1 John 1:9 is not for today. You better go tell Jesus in. And you talk to him if you make it and tell him up there. But anyway, Jesus is sitting there in the hospital room and talking to Brother Hagin. He said, now, if you don't get mad at me for not preventing this from happening to you. He said, because if I had not permitted it to happen, he said, I didn't do it. He said, but I allowed it to happen. He said, you got into disobedience, and this is why this happened to you. He said, if I had not permitted this to happen to you and got your attention and arrested your attention, he said, you would have died at 55 years of age. Well, Rhema didn't start till Brother Hagin was 57. There'd have been no Rhema. You would have not known your pastor. You'd have not known me. We might probably have never known one another. And the revelation that needed to come into the earth would never have came. You understand that? So Brother Hagin would have never lived long enough to start Rhema Bible Training there. And so Jesus told him, he said, you've been putting your teaching ministry ahead of your prophetic ministry. And Brother Hagin said the reason he did that is because that he had a natural bent or preference towards teaching, and except the prophetic. I'll tell you about the prophetic and how it works because God uses me that way. The prophetic ministry is a walk of faith, because in teaching, and we need the teaching gift, we need the ministry gift, in teaching, you can pre-plan what you're going to say. You can come up with doctrinal issues and talk about things. In fact, if you want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the prophetic ministry is in operation right before your eyes right now. I don't know if you understand that or not. God is speaking to some people sitting right here in this room and had me turn and go in a different direction, and that's the prophetic. See, I'm speaking by sudden inspiration at the moment. I hadn't pre-planned to say this. I hadn't started to say this. And when I started on this journey, it's a faith walk, because I don't have any scripture. I don't have any chapter. I don't have any verse. I don't have anything like that. And that don't mean you're some great woo-wee something. That don't mean the ministry gifts any better than anybody else. But that's how it operates. But most people never see it. Most people never understand it, because, and most, even in our circles, you're condemned to hell if you, you know, were to say that there's an apostle or there's a prophet or something like that. Maybe not to hell, but dangled over it anyway. And it's not because people are mean or bad. It's because there's been so much excess and error in this area that people just kind of just push that away. But no, we're going to have the full, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher. If we don't, we'll never have the fullness of God's move in the earth. We're going to have it all. And all of us are going to work together. That would be a miracle of God. But we're going to work together, and only God could do it. But in the teaching ministry, Brother Hagin said he had a natural preference for it because, you know, in the prophetic, a lot of times you have to step out, walk out by faith, and God just begins to reveal things to you, and you have to kind of flow with him and follow him. And that doesn't mean that any other ministry gifts can't be used that way. Certainly they can, and revelation and things like that. But anyway, he just had a natural preference for the teaching. It was a comfortable place. It didn't take as much faith, in a sense, just to stand there and teach. And he liked that too. And in fact, he said if he hadn't wound up being, you know, a preacher, he would have been an attorney. He liked arguing about things and discovering things. In fact, he said when he was a child, he used to sneak off from the house, you know, and he would go down to the courtroom and he would set up in the balcony and watch the attorneys argue cases, and he would think, well, I could do that better than they could, you know what I mean, and how he could do it. So he had just a natural bent or leaning towards teaching. But the Lord said, you've got to make this adjustment, and you've got to take your prophetic ministry and you've got to put it ahead of your teaching ministry. And then he pointed out to him, Jesus pointed out to him, he said, nowhere in the scripture does it put the teaching ministry ahead of the prophetic. He said, everywhere that the prophet or the teacher is listed together in the scripture, it always puts the prophetic ministry ahead of the teaching ministry. And he said, you've reversed the role. He said, you tried to put the teaching ministry ahead of the prophetic ministry, and that's not right. And he said, you need to make this correction. So Dr. Kennedy Hagin repented, and he talked to him for about an hour and a half. In fact, the book called How to Be Led of the Spirit of God. Anybody ever heard of that book by Kennedy Hagin? That book came from that experience. If you want to read about some of these things, you can go get that book. You won't find it all there, but that's where that book came from. Jesus told him and gave him a commission at that time to go and teach his people how to be led by the Spirit of God. And that's where the book came from, How to Be Led of the Spirit of God. And so I encourage you, if you have that book, knock the dust off of it and begin to read it, to meditate on it, and practice being led by the Spirit of God, because that's the greatest thing we can do. But Dr. Kennedy Hagin said this, and I got to talking about him. He said that he never told everybody everything that he knew. Why? Because Jesus didn't tell everything he knew while he was on this earth. How do we know that? St. John 16, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So sometimes it's best just not to tell everything you know. And again, I've had to learn that over the years. And again, the Lord began to talk to me in 2005 about 2011, but I couldn't start talking about it till about a year and a half ago. Because the Lord said, it's not time to say it. It's not time to release it. Before God ever does anything in this world, somebody in the ministry is going to prophesy it. Somebody is going to declare it. Because only the things that God declares will he bring to pass in this earth. Thank God for his goodness and thank God for his mercy. So what we want to do, though, is we want to continue to examine this area of finances and faith for finances. So you're turning back to Malachi chapter 3. Isn't that right? So that was all a side journey. Are you ready to come back on the main path now? And that was just supernatural. But Brother Hagin used to say the side journeys are just as good, a lot of times, a main thought. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And we got to talking about all that through the local church and who the local church is. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts. If I not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. So we want to obey God. Notice the storehouse is a local church that you attend. Every person needs a local church. It's not the traveling preacher. It's not the radio preacher. It's not the TV preacher. It's not the homeless shelter. It's all of those things are well and good, and we want to support them and help them, but we want to tithe and give offerings to our local church. Now, does that mean that I don't want you to support Randall Greer Ministries? Or I don't need partners in my ministry? Well, certainly I do. I need help, and I need support. Yes, you need to be my partner. Don't make me come back there. Because you're not supporting me, in a sense. You're supporting the work of God. Yes, I got staff in there. I don't know what's wrong with them. I said, I don't know what's wrong with my staff. But every Friday, they want to stick their hand out and they want a paycheck. I thought they was working for the Lord. They want a paycheck for some reason, you know what I mean? I don't know why they want money. And you know, amazing thing, probably some of you do the same thing. You probably don't go to work every day and then get Friday and say, well, I don't want no check, just keep it. I'm just blessing you. No, you go to work, and what motivates you to go to work is M-O-N-E-Y, M-O-U-S-E. Y'all thought he was Mickey Mouse, but that rat's made more money, remember, than any rat I ever known. And so you go, and your motivation for going to work is money because you're going to get a paycheck. And God doesn't mind that. But when it comes to ministerial things, most people think the preacher ought to starve to death. And he ought to live on barely get along street and have nothing. And everybody else in life can have everything. But that's not true. And if you don't watch it sometimes, traveling ministers, I just get out here. I'm going to wait out here and just really get out here. Traveling ministers are taken advantage of a lot of times because of the fact that people don't understand what they go through. All the travel expenses involved, all the time they're away from their family, the office and all the stuff that goes on over there, they don't take it into effect. In fact, a lot of times the traveling ministry is merchandised in our society today. It's taken advantage of. They're brought in to profit from that ministry, but the ministry itself or the minister itself or the ministry that's coming in never profits or benefits because a lot of times it costs them more money to come and do the meeting than they receive in the offering. Don't make me come back there. I'm smiling. But God always takes care of us, and God always supplies for us. And I'm not saying it happens every place because certainly it don't. And your pastors wouldn't allow that to happen because they're good people. But a lot of times people don't see the big picture. They just see the little picture. And we can talk about the local church and how we need to support the local church, but we also need to support the traveling ministry because it's all part of the work of God. But first, we put the local church first, and we support the local church. And then if you have anything over and you want to, just go ahead and send it to us. It'll be all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there's no pressure on anybody. So I said, what do you do with it? Well, I don't benefit from it. In fact, I haven't seen a paycheck in I don't know how many years. My wife gets it all. I don't. I haven't. And that's the truth. I haven't even signed a check or anything. I don't do anything with it. I don't handle anything to do with that. I don't really know.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.